Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the MM Forging Limited 3Q FY23 post-results conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Tanvi. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, welcome to 3Q FY23 post-results conference call of MM Forging Limited. I also take this opportunity to welcome the senior management team of MM Forging Limited. We have with us today Mr. Vidyashankar Krishnan, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Venkata Krishnan, Chief Financial Officer. I will now invite Mr. Vidyashankar Krishnan for the opening remarks to be followed by question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you, Jayaraj. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this call. We have pleased to announce the results for this year for the nine months ended 31st December. On an overall basis, we've achieved a turnover of 1,040 crores standalone and cumulative and a consolidated basis of 1,080 crores approximately. Production tonnage stands at about 55,000 tons for the nine months. We expect to end this year close to 72,000 tons, as we have been confirming around the half-yearly level. Similar performance can be expected for the fourth quarter as well. Outlook remains positive, very bullish across the Indian market, actually across the Indian subcontinent, with CV and PV sales expected to be rocking. Exports also, the gloom that was there a quarter back, or at least perceived slowdown, was substantially removed or abated, with the U.S. CV market looking to be strong in the year to come. Plus, some SOB gains, share of business gains in, with customers in Europe, means that our European sales also will be reasonably bullish. Overall, put together, we should be expected to doing well on the export side. The threat of inflation due to the Ukraine war kind of abated, possibly due to the winter slowdown in the war itself. Now I think aggression has started from both sides. However, the war has been discounted effectively into calculation. With a higher base level of inflation prevailing all over the world, at least in Europe and U.S., we expect the inflation numbers going ahead to be lesser. As a result of that, the quantitative tightening and the interest rate hikes would definitely slow down. As a result, that also proves to be positive for the markets of the company in the developed economies. Overall, we expect the next year to be around 20%-25% of growth and achieve close to 1,800-2,000 crores. With the removal of, with the slow incoming of scrappage policy, particularly the government taking up the scrappage policy, we expect the Indian market also to go strong, particularly the CV market, and stronger numbers are expected in the months to come. Our EV foray, Abhinava Raizal, is also developing parts pretty fast. I'm happy to say that we've had a couple of order wins, our first order wins, which is a big start for a startup. That is also expected, going on expected lines. We are furiously working there to not just work with motors, but also add the entire powertrain, which comprises the controller, motor and gearbox to our portfolio by developing competencies for controller and gearboxes, which we will be doing so in the next 1 year. So 1 year from now, Abhinav Horizon will be well into manufacturing and offering entire powertrains to customers, EV customers. Our other venture, Suvarchas Vidyut, is also progressing decently well with alternator sales as well as addition of newer products in the next quarter. So this is the overall situation, and our target for Abhinav Horizon next year meaning FY24 would be a modest double digit, and in FY25 we would like to hit, or at least dream to hit or challenge, a three figure number in FY25. So with this, I think I have given a brief about the past 3 months and the future as we see it, and would like to now take questions from all of you. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers and order win in the EV business. Firstly, can you talk about the order win in the EV, primarily the motor order win which you talked about? Can you elaborate on that? Who's the customer? The potential size of the order on an annual basis?
I don't want to disclose the customer name. We have a confidentiality agreement. But it will be in the off-road space.
Okay. And this effectively will be relatively smaller order, given that segment itself is...
Yeah, smaller volumes to start with, but ultimately getting there.
Right. And is our product on motors on the two-wheeler side ready and tested?
No. On the two-wheeler side, though we are capable of doing that product very easily, we have kind of slowed down our development work on the two-wheeler side. We're focusing a little bit more on the higher kilowatt ranges.
Okay. Got it. Second question pertains to the forging business. So this quarter, what would have been our sales in tonnage basis?
Sorry, I'm not able to hear you.
Could you repeat on tonnage basis, would it be close to about 20,000 tons?
For the quarter ended?
Right.
About 18,000 tons, yes.
18,000 tons. Okay. And we have seen a material increase in our RM cost on a QOQ basis. What would be this due to? Primarily because of mix, or we are still seeing some cost inflation over here?
Also, the fact that price increases were settled only in this quarter, so to some extent that is also added to the raw material costs.
You mean price increases with the suppliers?
With the suppliers and with customers, and consequently with customers.
Okay. Got it. And from here on, we should see some stability in input prices, right? I mean, given where the spot prices are.
Hey, Dinesh, because... Dinesh, the reason is that while markets abroad are moribund, no doubt, but coal is the joker in the pack as far as Indian steel is concerned. And it is, believe me, a very volatile animal.
Okay.
That is causing some trouble. That is causing some concern that it's not going to be cakewalk and that prices are headed south.
Right. Understood.
On the side, so steel need not be, steel in India need not be very stable. It could, potential is that it could be
stronger.
It could be stronger.
Got it. Got it. And lastly, what would have been our CapEx in first 9 months, and how much are we looking to spend in fourth quarter? Hello?
Yeah. We spent about overall up to the 9 months has been 200 crores approximately.
Okay. And fourth quarter would be similar run rate or there will be some increase?
Four would be about 60-70 crores.
Got it. Great, sir. I'll come back in queue. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Opportunity, sir, and congrats for a strong set of numbers in a tough time. Sir, despite sharp fall in the RM prices, we are not witnessing decline in average realization much. So what is the reason? Will it flow from the next quarter onwards?
Yes, it will flow from the next quarter onwards.
So how much average realization decline we can assume in the domestic and the export market, sir?
About 4%, 3-4%.
So that will be same for the domestic and export?
It will be 3%, sorry. It will be about 2% max.
Max 2%. And in the 55,000 volume, how much is the export versus domestic, sir?
Domestic stands at 65% and export at 35%.
Okay. And sir, despite the recession scenario in the U.S. and Europe, business is strong for the Indian players. Are we getting market share because of the China Plus One strategy, sir?
Yeah, there's a lot of movement as a result of China Plus One. But at the same time, we have to be pricing is a different animal altogether. So we have to look again at pricing.
Okay. So in last couple 2 months, we have seen a sharp decline in the Class A truck orders. Will it impact the forging company's revenues in the next 4 to 5 months?
We see an uptick. From now on, the last 2 months was largely due to inventory tightening. So we expect Class 8 to be stable across the.
So how is the current demand outlook for the North America and Europe? And what is your expectation for the next for FY24?
Sorry, can you repeat, please?
So what is the current outlook on these two geographies, North America and Europe? And what is your volume outlook for the next for FY24 for these two geographies?
For MMF, I would say FY24 volumes should be higher than FY23.
In both geographies, U.S. and Europe?
Yes, in both geographies.
Okay, sir. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on good set of a number. Just again on the guidance side, I just want to know, will we be maintaining the same level of EBITDA per ton going ahead in quarter four? Hello?
Yes. We would expect the same levels of EBITDA as we go forward.
Okay. And right. I mean, what you have been guiding for, like, probably last two quarters, right? I mean, like 34,000, 35,000, what we normally do. But
correct.
Right. Yeah. On my second question would be just to understand in quarter three, could you give me the segment geographical breakup of revenue as in Europe, domestic, North America, US, something like that.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Am I audible?
The geographical breakup would be 65% India.
Okay.
15% each between Europe and US.
Okay.
And South America, the balance.
Okay. Okay. 60%
India, 15% Europe and US, balance South America.
That comes 10%.
Yeah.
Thanks for that information. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Peter Agnell from Shema Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Sir, in the similar line, can you also provide the breakup for this quarter by CV, PV and non-auto?
Yeah, sure. 78% is CV, 13% is PV, and about 8% is non-auto.
Okay. Thank you. And sir, the thing is that as we can see, the share of India has the last three quarters has been increasing, and US and Europe have reduced. So how do we interpret it? Is there some slowdown in Europe? And also Europe-specific revenue split by CV, PV and industrial, if you can give. Because we noticed that CV is growing, but PV is declining in Europe. So we just want to understand the dynamics that are operating in Europe and America in the segment-wise.
Yeah, we also see that CV in Europe is improving and PV in Europe is declining. And that is to be expected, isn't it? With the higher inflation, people have lesser money to spend on passenger cars, so they would not spend as much. That was an expected consequence.
Yes, sir. So in that sense, your exposure in Europe percentage-wise between CV, PV and non-auto, just to understand the revenue-wise, how it will impact the company?
Almost the same. Almost the same. Europe PV is about 2% lesser, 2 to 3% less. And CV is 2-3% higher. So to put numbers in perspective, 81% CV and 11% PV in Europe.
Okay. That is. And is there a similar thing in for the US thing as well, sir? The split?
Sorry?
The Euro for US also, is that the same trend of CV,
no.
PV wise?
Not that I can see it.
Okay. The steel cost, you have a pass through. Just want to confirm, is it like 100% pass through, or are there some under recoveries also in the steel cost?
There is no under recovery majorly. Generally, it's a pass through.
Okay. And according to you, when do you see the steel prices coming down to like the 48,000-50,000 levels which we saw in FY19? Like how many quarters down the line do you predict that, given that you mentioned about the coal prices being a joker?
I don't see that happening at all.
Okay.
The reason is, the reason is that at this level of the global economy itself, coal prices are remaining high. So I don't see coal prices falling by too much, and therefore I don't see steel prices falling much at all.
Okay. So final question is that in terms of Europe plus one, we just want to understand, since you have your boots on the ground, are we getting orders from, because forging companies are not able to be sustainable in the high energy price environment in Europe, so are their clients coming to companies like MM Forging in India, or are there outside European partners who are taking, instead of going to Europe, they are fresh coming to countries like India and they are benefiting from it? Can you throw some light on that? That's my final question. Thank you. Basically, I just want to understand how much they are benefiting.
The impact of the energy crisis in Europe is playing out in terms of better procurement from us.
Okay. So their European clients are now coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin Chawla from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, you spoke about the fact that you've done 55,000 tons in 9 months and your full year guidance is 72,000, which implies 17,000 in 4Q. Now, usually 4Q is the strongest quarter in the financial year, especially for the CV industry in India. So why is it that you're guiding for 17K when you on an average in the 9 months you've done on a quarterly basis more than 18,000 tons already?
We should do a little bit better.
And the
guidance, right? It's an approximate number.
Right. So I was just trying to understand if the usual trend that 4Q is the strongest quarter in the year should play out this year as well.
Yeah, it should.
Okay. The second question was on this, you know, Europe kind of, you said that you were starting to see some procurement. So just to understand this a little bit more, what sort of traction are you seeing? Are you seeing like, you know, your Europe share increasing significantly, and over the next 2-3 years, do you think this can be something really material for you where your Europe share goes up significantly compared to where it stands today at 15%?
Good question. With a few order wins in Europe, I think it could go up a little bit. But overall, I would say it will remain where it is. The reason is that a lot of growth for MMF comes from the Indian market. And therefore, that would dwarf the growth that we could get in the, that we see coming from the European and US markets. So I would say that export percentages to those market or sales to those markets will be roughly where they are.
Right, right. And kind of, you know, just probing a little bit more on your answer here, from the Indian market, you know, is likely to be strong. I think in the past you've spoken about new products coming in and kind of that driving, you know, overall growth for MMF being much higher than CV industry growth. Just wanted to understand, where are we on the timelines for those new products kind of, you know, coming in and impacting the revenue line?
Could you repeat your question, please?
So in the past, you have spoken about new products coming in and because of which MMF would do much better than the underlying Indian CV industry growth. So just wanted to understand where we are on that, you know, the timeline for the new products coming in and positively impacting MMF growth over and above the CV industry growth.
That is happening at a furious pace.
So have we seen bulk of the impact already, or are we going to see most of the impact?
We see some of the impact, and we still have some more to go.
And bulk of that would come in FY24, or are we looking at beyond that?
It would extend up to FY25.
Okay. And this is largely higher tonnage or heavier products that you're making?
Largely, yes.
And then consequently, should that kind of help a little bit on margins as well? Because typically the heavier products have slightly higher margins.
I don't know. Margins is a very tough question to answer and hold because of the volatility on the cost side. So all things being equal, yes, there will be scale, economies of scale leading to better margins, but we'll also have to look at wage increases and some modest inflation.
Right. And in terms of your kind of capacity plans, in terms of any new presses that you need to install, how are you thinking about that over the next 12 to 18 months?
We are evaluating, keeping a close watch.
Okay, but nothing that is been frozen yet from a 12 to 18.
Nothing that has been frozen yet. Right now, our CapEx is committed.
we have embarked on a 500 crore capex from this year onwards, and that is bound, that is kind of, what shall I say, keeping us busy. As we go through midway, let's say by end of this calendar year or towards Q, end of Q2 of this year, we will crystallize our plans for the years ahead. But definitely we will have to do something. I'm very sure about it, because as we near the 110,000, 120,000 mark, we would definitely have to address capital issues.
And this bulk of this...
Capital is not an issue, capacity is an issue. Yeah.
Right. And bulk of this 500 crore is going on increasing your machining capacity, not so much on the press capacity.
Yeah, it's much of it is not going on the press capacity. We're just adding one 6,300 ton press.
And that 6,300 ton press would take your total press capacity to how much from?
Flat at 30,000 tons.
Okay.
And that will happen by Q2 of this forthcoming fiscal year. So somewhere between June to September.
Right. Or and in terms of our machining mix, where are we today and how do you see that rising by end of FY24?
One second, please.
Sure.
We are at 45% forged, 55% machined.
55%. By end FY24, yeah. Given the machine capacity,
this is up to Q3. In Q3 itself, we are at about 40%, 40-60.
Okay.
Ballpark, okay? Give or take a percent or two. So we were saying that the machined percentage would go to about 65%.
Right.
I think that movement and the trend is very clearly seen. So as we move on, as I've been saying in the last quarter, MM Forging has made a transition from being a forging supplier to being a component supplier.
Right.
So earlier our machining percentage was hardly 20-25%. Now it has gone up to 60% of sales. This is a significant shift.
Yeah.
We are no longer a forge shop with a machine shop. We are a supplier of automotive, of forged components.
Yeah, that's great to hear, sir. And congratulations on how you're executing the plan. Just one last question from my side. This 15-20% kind of growth, 20-25% of growth that you spoke about, that's on tonnage or that's on revenues for next year?
Should be reflected both ways.
Okay. Because I would assume that with machining and, heavier products coming in, your realization should be slightly better if everything else remains the same.
Which should go up? Sorry?
Yeah. I was saying basically your realization should go up because your machining share and your product mix is also becoming kind of incrementally more positive. So your realizations, if everything else remains same, ideally realization should go up a little bit.
The bias on that is positive. Yes, as we machine more parts, in any case, sales realizations will inch up.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, sir, for patiently answering my questions and best of luck.
Not at all. You've been very pointed in your questions and it's good to receive those.
Thanks, sir.
Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Naveen from NS Capital. Please go ahead. Naveen, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question. Naveen, probably you've muted your line from your end. Please proceed.
Is it audible now?
Yes, now it is audible.
Good evening, sir. I just wanted to get your vision on the EV portion of our business. In the last call, you were mentioning that testing and prototyping were going on. Have we gone past that stage, at least for the initial set of components, and moved into production stage, sir? Some commentary on that would be helpful. Thank you.
Is it our journey or the market's state?
Our journey, sir. MMFL's journey.
Yeah. We have launched motors with Abhinava Raizal. With the investment in Abhinava Raizal, we are into prototyping of motors. And we will be getting into controllers as well as gearboxes within the next 1 year. Maybe much earlier as well. So, of course, it will all be graded across time, but we can broadly say manufacturing, everything, all the dust to settle 9 months to a year. So by end of the year, we should be, end of this 2023, we should be well into manufacturing gearboxes and controllers as well. Maybe they may be in proto stage, they may be in bulk, some of it may be in proto. So whatever it is, we would have at least moved forward considerably into making controllers and gearboxes. So with that, we would be a full-fledged powertrain supplier. So in addition to our motor, we will have these two as well. And all that would definitely transpire into greater business opportunities for MMFL. I mean, as a group. Particularly, Abhinava Raizal will be the beneficiary.
And do we currently have an order book for the motors, sir, or is it going to be there in the next quarter only?
You know, we have an order book for motors.
Great, no doubt. Great to hear.
And we see a pipeline of orders coming as well. Slowly, we are finding our sweet spot, the initial sweet spot in the market. And we are also seeing what is the trend that is happening. And all those are, I'm not at liberty to discuss those right now. But we can say that we are very, very focused on getting new businesses and also ramping up our capacities. By end of the year, in the next 10 to 12 months, we would have our manufacturing capacities also up, capable to produce around 50 to 60,000 motors. More on it when we meet next. Our plans would have taken a sharper shape, but we are in that direction.
Appreciate
so
that, sir.
It's kind of moving at like a startup. We'll be renting some premises to start with, and then we would go into building our own manufacturing premises, our own factory in the outskirts of Chennai.
Great, great. Sir, back to our bread and butter portion of the business. Can you share the approximate capacity utilization for our forging and machining division, sir? Just to get a sense of the capacity and the...
Right now, what is happening is that this capacity is the moving number. Let's
yes,
say
sir.
We end the year at about 75,000 tons quick number. On 110,000 tons, this represents around 65% of capacity.
That's for forging.
That's on the forging side. Machining is also almost pro rata. So,
okay.
But we are also adding a lot of machining cells. Much of the investment of 500 crores, 200 crores goes towards, 200, 300 crores goes towards the machining side alone. 100 towards forging and 100 on the EV side or the electrical side. So a lot of business, a lot of investment is coming on the machining side, and that is also going to push up our sales to beyond the 2000 crore mark.
Great. One last question, sir. There has been quite a buzz about the railway investments by various companies. Are we looking into this sector at all, sir, particularly manufacturing of railway wheels or any components thereof?
No. No. Nothing, okay. Nothing on our book, nothing on our horizon right now.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for patiently answering all the questions. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Peter Agnell from Shema Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
So just a little bit of a technical question just to understand. So when you are forging EV parts, we are assuming it has to be lighter than the normal for the ICE engines. So what are the additional challenges which comes with that? And are the is it higher margins? And because the volume seem to be subdued overall for the market. So what is your view on that, sir?
Parts will be lighter by nature, but you can't make the forging itself lighter. I mean, the density of steel is the same. So it can only be distributed by design. EV parts are lighter because they handle lesser forces, and people are designing them ground up these days with better engineering knowledge rather than relying upon historical designs and legacy designs. So as a result, you will see lighter products in the offing, and that's not a real thing on the EV side as such. Most of the EV products are, they could be easily substituted with a with an internal combustion engine drive for that particular kilowatt range or power range or torque range. So that parts are getting lightweighted only because of the move towards EV is something is, I'm not able to see the logic in that. But the reason they are lighter or could be moving towards lighter parts is that the design itself is ground up. Is a basic design, not legacy, not traditional. So therefore, because of the redesign, parts are lighter. Sometimes, as you know, new designs can also fail. But I would say lighter designs are in the offing. You know, we have access to more sophisticated tools these days on FEM and finite element FEA, finite element analysis, CAE, etc. So engineers can design products a lot tighter than they would design earlier. Some of these, there could be a little bit of failure on one or two of these, but they'll backtrack and find out how to claw back and ensure that the designs are equally robust as previous designs.
Yes, okay. And sir, in the following months, would there be any opportunity to visit the factory? Is it possible, sir?
Sorry?
Would there be any opportunities for a factory visit?
We'll organize one, or we'll try to organize one as early as possible.
Okay.
Yeah, please contact Jairaj and express your interest. Possibly, once we get we'll try to coagulate all of them and try to fix up something. If not in this quarter, at least in Q1.
Okay. Okay. And then finally, can we just probe again on the Europe Plus One? Just want to understand that the Europe Plus One strategy orders.
Local basis. Fine. I understand. Okay. Yes.
Yes, sir. So the Europe Plus One beneficiary businesses which you are witnessing or your competitors, are you seeing it as a thing where, you know, is it a temporary thing where those companies are just for the next few quarters?
We are telling our customers very clearly, don't come to us temporarily.
Okay. Okay.
We are telling our customers that we can't assign capacity for you on a monthly basis. You make up your mind and come back to us long term.
Okay, so it's a 3-year plus Andamari contract that it is ideal.
Yeah, we are looking at long term.
Okay, Rumba Dandri, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Varun Arora. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So on freight rates, if you can share us your views, is it still above break-even level or is it come down now?
Sorry, please repeat. What is the sales?
So freight rate, is it still above the break-even levels or has it come down?
I'm able to understand above break-even levels, but I couldn't. I missed you one sentence before.
Freight rates.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering what rate. You mean export freight rates?
Yes, sir. Sir, he's talking about that.
Yeah, they've softened, considerably softened.
Okay, and can we expect this, you know, to going forward in the next quarter, you know, this will go down more in the terms of percentage? Sir?
Hello. Tough question to answer, but given the trend, yes, I would say yes. I can stick my neck out and say yes, that trend would be seen.
Okay, sir. So, next question is on EBITDA margin. So, currently we are at now 18 to 18.5. So, can we expect this trend to go going forward, you know, like reach by 20% in FY24?
I would say, as I've been saying this for the last few quarters, and probably time and tide is not giving wings to my thoughts, the range is this with a positive bias. That is the intent, and I think that view still holds. Though I would say that the positive bias has not come much, at least in except in Q3 of this, maybe Q2 and Q3, there is definitely a positive bias. So overall, I would say yes, looks to be positive. We are knocking on the doors of 20 as it is, right? If you take Q3 margins, are at about 19.6. At 0.5 points, all those are more academic numbers from my point of view. More important thing is to sell a product that is competitive, which the customer is happy buying and will continue to buy constantly.
Okay, sir. So my next question on the board. So the board of MM Forging seems to be having, you know, less external dependent directors in the terms of auto sector expertise. So is there any plan to strengthen the MM Forging board? Any comments, sir, on that?
Yeah, that is on the cards. We are looking at a board revamp.
Okay, sir. And on the revenue front, so for FY23, are we still standing on the 14 to 15 billion revenue range, which we last time you had talked about for FY23?
Sorry, Gojin, 14 to 15. Yeah, we are very much on the cards for that, right?
Okay, sir. And if you can share your expectations for FY24 and FY25 revenue range, sir. Any target or any expectation?
I thought I did. We are looking at FY24 something in the region of on the other side of 2,000 crores, and FY25 on the other side of on the beyond the 2,000 crore mark. This is our expectation. Of course, all this is subject to macroeconomic conditions.
Okay, sir. And,
all these conversations. That caveat should be there in all these conversations.
Okay, sir. And, sir, your outlook on the CV segment and PV segment for the near term to, you know, medium term. So, that would be very helpful.
Sure. India, very positive. Both CV and PV, extremely positive. The Indian economy is probably really raring to going very strong, and is raring to go stronger. As I've been saying last few quarters, as a country, all of us have to look at how we run our businesses and processes in a different way than in the past, to be more proactive and more inclusive, to ensure that the quality of life across the board in India goes up. Or as that keeps happening every cycle, every month, every quarter, every half year and every year, I would say India is definitely headed to be a $10 trillion economy sometime in the 30s. Whether it is 35 or 40 or 2040, but it's a big challenge. Imagine from, let's say, 3.7 odd trillion now to grow almost three times within the next 12 to 15 years, or around the 15-year mark, is a big challenge. It's a big challenge, and it's a big opportunity. As probably I will end my career, most of us, I don't know, the landscape in India as far as GDP and per capita GDP should have changed totally. But this will require a ground up change in the thinking of everyone, including myself. And if you ask me if I am ready for it, I know it should happen, but whether I am totally embracing it, I would say I have not given it a thought. But I should. All of us should. So it will be exciting times ahead for the Indian economy. The roads that we have built, the ports that we have built are just not enough. We need to do much more on top of the infra. Nobody thought that the Golden Triangle and the roads that we have built would bring India closer together as it has now. And GST has made it into one single market. All those, that integration has to continue, will continue unabated, I'm sure. And that augurs really well for our journey to become first 5 trillion and then 7 and 10 trillion dollar economy.
Yes. Okay, sir. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and 1. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, many companies are indicating slowdown in the housing sector in the US. In India as well, as civil demand is also seeing decline. Given the high interest rate scenario, is it possible to CV industry to grow 15% to 20% kind of the range in FY24?
See, that will depend upon the primary economy. Truck owners are a willy-nilly lot. They know the pulse on the ground very well. So if there is latent patent demand, they will buy regardless of interest rates.
So don't you see that slowdown in the housing sector in the US may dampen the demand of profits?
The truck market has been moribund for the last 5 years, 4 years. 2019 onwards, been largely static, maybe a little bit down more due to the pandemic. And so it is rising up fast, and with scrappage policy at least caught on and implemented by the government, implemented by the government first, definitely it augurs well. And you can't have talk of EVs on one side to reduce pollution and then talk about 40-year-old, 50-year-old vehicles spewing smoke and poison on our roads. So definitely from a social point of view, this is reasonably in the offing, and it was to be expected. It will be in a calibrated, slow manner so as not to affect too many jobs in the country. But scrappage will come. So riding on top of scrappage and a stronger, see, India is a relatively young country, China plus one, definitely all industries globally have realized they're all having their China plus one strategy, and India figures right on top of their list now. Only thing is, we have to make it easier for them to do their business and also be competitive in the bargain.
Sir, in the last 6 to 12 months, replacement demand in CV was quite strong, and the scrappage implementation of the scrappage policy was one of the reasons. So already the scrappage policy has already played out because most of the fleet operators has already replaced their vehicles. And plus, the cost is going to increase by 2 to 3% in the coming month because of the BS6 phase two norm. So, don't you see that it can impact the first quarter or FY24 volume?
Yeah, hi Abhishek. See, a 2%. 3% change in the price of a vehicle will not matter if there is demand. And also, if the average truck age is gone up, again it will not impact demand. So the other thing is that cost for truckers has also gone up, particularly manpower. If they were to freight longer distances with lesser manpower, meaning if they were to put more tonnage per trip, it adds to their profitability. So truckers are increasingly going towards higher tonnage vehicles. So the industry cannot no longer be gauged just in terms of numbers sold, but also in terms of TIV, total industry volume. So I'm yet to get some numbers on that. For the last few quarters, I'm also searching. Anyway, we are seeing the demand from CV makers right now. So overall, as the economy grows, it is the general norm that CV markets will have to grow by at least 2x of GDP growth. So all those put together, I would say, notwithstanding a few blips here and there, the trend is very, very positive. I still hold my ground on that.
Thank you. Sir, my next question on the CV side that you mentioned that around...
The point is not this 2%, 3%. This is precisely, I'm not pinpointing at you, but this is also one of the things that, in each of our mindsets, we ought to be concerned, no doubt, but a 2%, 1% shift here and there on a journey from 3.3 trillion to, or 3.7 trillion to 10 trillion, it all gets subsumed within that. It is not even the error in the journey. So I would say largely positive. We should look at things far more positively. Look at certain things. Okay? Straight away, defense output in India, we are seeing every day somebody or the other is launching products for the defense industry. And most of them are doing a better job than current imports. Now all that wealth stays within the country, no?
Yes, sir.
And that will generate further opportunities. Instead of generating opportunities abroad. Then comes the next question, once we move towards electric, possibly a couple of more lucky discoveries of lithium, etc., then our POL dependence also will go down.
Okay.
Now, and all that money will be circulating within the country. So huge, big changes are there. Notwithstanding the overall drive of a younger nation towards higher GDP. I'm talking like an economist rather than an MD, but the reason I think that it impacts MM Forging in a rather positive manner.
Thanks for your detailed insights, sir. Sir, my next question on the EV side, you mentioned that you are going to produce around 50 to 60,000 motors. Is it for the two-wheelers or for the CV? And what is the content per vehicle?
We haven't yet fathomed the market, but the investment will be fungible.
So, is it for the two-wheelers or four-wheelers?
I'm not at liberty to discuss that right now.
Okay, sir. And what would be the content per vehicle, sir?
Again, it will change depending upon the vehicle from two-wheeler to four-wheeler. So, it depends on what we are going to offer also. On the four-wheeler side, it will be all three. Two-wheeler will be just two. So controller and motor. Gearbox is almost non-existent. All told together, all these are reflected in our plan. Next year, two digits. And the year after that, dream for three digits.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Quickly, in terms of the 500 crore capex which you mentioned, that is over FY23 and 24, right?
Sorry, I didn't get you.
The 500 crore investment plan is over FY23 and 24. Is that correct?
Yes. 22-23 and 23-24.
Okay. With respect to the 100 crore investment in forging, that is towards the 6,300 ton press, nothing beyond that.
Yeah, nothing. Maybe a little bit here on automation, debottlenecking, some maintenance CapEx.
Okay.
All told together, about 80 crore. I rounded it off to 100.
Right. That will add about 30,000 ton capacity, at a broader level.
10,000, no? Lakh and 20 to lakh and 30.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Would it be fair to say that the machining mix should increase beyond 65%, given the investments which we are doing in machining is almost close to 300 crore, whereas we are already at about 60% machining mix in third quarter. Should one look at higher value add beyond 65% for next couple of years? Is that the right approach?
Yeah, I would say so. Yes, certainly. As we add more and more components on the machining side, the growth will be on machined components only.
Got it. Lastly, what is our net debt as of December 2022?
Sorry, can you repeat your question, please, Dinesh?
Net debt.
Net debt. As of now, net debt is about term loan debt is about 200.
Working capital, and cash?
Working capital would be all told, 300 working capital, 200 term loan. Net debt.
Okay. Okay. Cash will be what about?
200.
100 or?
200.
Got it. Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
700 gross debt minus 200 COH.
Okay.
About 500.
500 crore net debt. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj for closing comments.
Yeah. Thanks. On behalf of B&K Securities, we thank all the participants for joining the call. Special thanks to MM for the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. Have a good day.
Thank you, guys. Jai Hind.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Jayaraj.
Thanks, sir.
On behalf of Batlivala & Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.